I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, everybody. We're the Rob and Holly Show. We are hanging here at Music Town thanks to our Metro Detroit Ram truck dealers. And Nico Moon is our special guest.
Nico Moon!
What's going on, yo?
What's happening?
Oh my gosh.
I'm doing great. I'm super excited to be here.
I love anytime we get to talk. Even on Zoom, your positive energy goes straight through the computer and just goes to, and it makes us feel so good.
We have said before, like, can we talk to Nico every single day? Because, and you know what?
So our 5-minute check-in?
Just a little check-in because you're so positive. But you know what the next best thing is all of your music. Because what we know about you is that all the songs that you put out yourself, because you write songs for, we decided
ton
everybody.
Yeah, everybody.
But all the songs are positive songs, right?
And they are, yeah. They're glass half full. And people ask me all the time, why don't you do sad songs?
Because I don't want to hear no sad. Come on.
I don't know why, but I just feel like life's too short for sad songs, for me personally, you know? So I think music is directly connected to memories, right? I mean, when you hear a song, it always takes you to a place. And I want my music to be connected to great moments in people's lives. So when they think about that time out on the lake or that time in their backyard hanging out with their friends, they think about, you know, hopefully my songs.
And plus you're performing them, right? So like as each and every night, if you're doing a sad song, aren't you being a little sad?
It's kind of sad every night, right?
Right. You're like, I'm going to be happy every night.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm trying to have fun every night.
That's right.
Are there any sad songs that you have written for other artists, though, that you're I'll do this one for you?
A bunch. I've written a bunch of sad songs for other artists.
Can you give the first three off the top of your head that you can think of?
Sure, yeah. So, I mean, I guess you could say that Gone for Dierks Bentley, you know, it's about getting over a breakup, you know?
Already Nico's gotten sad. Like literally you start talking, but no, it's true though. I see it in your face. I was like, no wonder he can't do the sad songs because your energy just totally went, like you're thinking about the sad songs.
Yeah.
But that's I feel like when I hear, it is about a breakup, but like when you're singing it, you're like, ah, bang. Oh, it's just got like a cool groove. So you're still like, you're doing that
still
Nico
feeling good.
Hop. You're doing that Nico hop.
The Nico hop.
I just coined
that's
it.
A new dance
that's a new thing.
Watch out, TikTok. I'm coming for you with the Nico hop.
Do the words come first, or is it the Nico hop kind of groove come first? Or how's it work for you in songwriting?
There's a million ways to write a great song. Okay. And everybody's got their own way of doing it. That's what's so fun about writing with other great songwriters is because they all kind of got their own process. My personal process that works really well for me is I start with the concept. So, for instance, Good Time, the first idea I had was, like a bobber on a wet line, I'm just trying to catch a good time. And that's where it all started, you know? And then I won't write any more lyrics. I just kind of got the general, like theme of the song. And then I'll grab a guitar and just start playing until I'm playing some music that feels like that thought. Yeah. And then I'll start humming. No lyrics still, just humming along a melody that I feel like fits that feeling too. And then once I got the music and the melody, then lyrics.
Okay. What about when you're writing with your...
Kind of like a tree, you know?
Yeah.
You got your trunk, your branches, and your leaves.
But you write with your wife. Oh, God, that was going to get...
Yeah, it's a tongue twister.
It's going to start like I'm having fun pretty soon. But you write with her a lot. Are you guys just sitting at home watching TV and the next thing you're like, we got to write a song? Or like, is it more of a structured
thing? Separate.
Like, today we're going to write a song, you and me, let's do it. Like, how does that work?
It's super unstructured.
Okay.
Anytime I write with somebody else, it's really structured. You know, we set a time, we meet up, we're going to write from... Now. But that's what's great about when we write together is it's just really fluid throughout our lives. I may wake up first thing in the morning, look over and be like, oh, I just got this idea.
Right. You're cooking eggs or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Really?
So, and we can take our time writing the songs. You know, a lot of the songs on the first album are, you know, they took months to write because we weren't in no rush. You know, we would just take our time. And when it's done, it's done. When it's right, it's right.
Is it better to be in a rush or no rush? Which do you feel is more? Sometimes when I set a time limit,
like both, because sometimes it's fun being under that pressure. Like sometimes I'll get a call and say, hey, you know, Keith Urban is looking for his next single. He's cutting next week, and he's looking right now, and he wants it to be like an up-tempo song, summer vibe or something. I don't know, you know?
Whatever, yeah.
And so you feel this like sense of like, I got to do it today, like write this song that when he hears it, he just is going to fall in love with it. And I like those type of writes too.
Did you have that pressure from Zach Brown at all? Because don't shoot the messenger, because he once told us,
There's things that Zach Brown has gotten us in trouble for when we repeated it.
Well, a few different things. Yeah. Well, that was the Aldean thing you're talking about. But yeah. He told us once, and it was kind of funny. We talked about how great a guy you are and how positive you are and how much you
busted your butt
to get where you are, right? But he also said, he goes, when I first met Nico, he goes, he was kind of a shit show.
Big time.
Is this true?
Yeah, it was.
No.
I wasn't even wearing shoes, yo. I was walking around. I didn't even wear shoes. I was out of it. But
that's true, like musician artistry kind of thing. Like you meet an artist and they don't have shoes on sometimes. It's okay.
Yeah, I don't know what I was doing. I was kind of out of it. I was just like, you know, I was a super big stoner and I lived in a tent for a little while.
What?
Yeah, I was just free floating in the wind. You know, I hadn't found my place and got a foundation yet, you know, and when I met Zach, that's kind of where I was.
I was
a late bloom, right? When I was like, you know, when I was 20, I was more like 12.
Hey, listen, we are late bloomers as well.
It's all a process. It's all about timing. Like you are where you are because you're supposed to be there.
Absolutely.
You had to go through the time of wearing no shoes and living how you were living to get to where you're at now.
Exactly.
Do you feel like your wife keeps you structured? Is she
part of
that?
Oh, that was the biggest moment in my life that got me on track, you know. Even when we met, I was still, you know, pretty wild, and I was super passionate about music but unfocused at the same time. I had all this passion for it, but I didn't know how to direct it and focus it, and she really encouraged me with all of that. And between her and Zach, they really kind of helped guide me along, and Zach really took me under his wing and kind of showed me you know, the difference between a good song and a great song, because at the time I didn't know how to hear the difference. And
interesting.
Well, I think
it's so good to hear that, by the way, because like I just feel like it's so important in people's story, because when you see you as so successful and just in the creative process, it's just nice to know that there's like a whole process to it. So I appreciate you sharing that. By the way,
I wasn't born with any kind of natural talent for music. I was
horrible
at it from the get go. I started playing drums when I was like 5 because my dad's a drummer, and that's the first thing I learned how to play. Not very good at it. And then when I was 15, I started playing guitar. Terrible at that. I bet the first 200 songs I wrote are the worst songs you've ever heard. I hope no one ever hears any of them.
Do you remember the first song that you wrote?
I don't really remember it, but I'm sure it was probably about some girl at school that broke my heart.
Oh my God.
You know, you're emotional in high school, but, you know, super pitchy. I couldn't sing on pitch. And, I didn't have a natural ability for it, but I had a natural love for music from the time I can remember. And my parents were really great about nurturing that and encouraging it and not saying, you know, that's all cool and fun for your hobby, but make sure that you have like a real plan, you know?
Right.
They just really encouraged me to follow my heart, and I did.
I love that.
This is so fascinating.
That's the 10,000 hour rule, you know. You work at something long enough, you'll get decent at it.
Wow, that is so fascinating.
It's great advice as well. So, anyone that's listening or watching this, thinking that they're not good enough, like you can do it.
10,000 hours.
You can do it.
Yeah,
you can do it. So
I got a quick story for y'all.
Oh yeah, we want
to
hear it.
Just to maybe like paint this picture of not being so good.
Okay.
But working really hard at it. So I had been playing bars around the Atlanta area for about 5 years. And I'm playing a Mexican restaurant this one night, okay? And usually I would play on the patio at this Mexican restaurant on the weekends while everybody was sitting out on the patio eating food. And I was singing cover songs, you know? But this one day it was raining. And so the manager comes up to me and he's like, hey, man, can't have you play on the patio today because nobody's out there. It's raining. I'm going to need you to play inside. And I'm like, okay, where do you want me to play? He was like, that's the thing, man. It's pretty packed today, so I'm going to need you to play in the entryway. And
oh
I was
God.
Like, okay. What's that? And you know sometimes when you go into a restaurant and you walk into like a little room.
In between the door, the two double doors.
Yeah, in between the double doors. And there's like some newspapers or something. And then you walk into the actual restaurant. That's where he set me up.
This is the worst gig ever.
Worst gig ever. Set me up right next to the front door. People were literally walking in and like, there I am, singing Sweet Home Alabama. And my you know, just I was at an all-time low at this moment of thinking to myself, I love this with all my heart, but maybe the world don't want me to do it, don't love it back, you know? And maybe it's just something for me to do at home, but maybe I'm not meant for this. I feel like I am, but here I am in the foyer of a Mexican restaurant. And then this kid walks up about an hour into the gig, and he's looking at me, and I'm like, oh. Like, it was like a shining light of hope, this little kid, this 10-year-old. And he watched me. I get done playing. I lean down to him, and I'm like, hey, little buddy, how's it going, man? You want me to play a song? And he was like, oh, no, man, I just want some gum. And I realized I've been sitting in front of a gumball machine. And that's when I hit my all-time low, because I realized, I was like, damn, I got beat out by gum.
Hey, you
got in my recording studio in Nashville, where I make all my music, right next to my recording console, I got a gumball machine.
That's incredible.
And so if you watch my lives, when there's like a wall of guitars behind me, right next, kind of right over from there, is my gumball machine. And I love looking at that when I'm in the studio, just to remind me of, you know, of that moment and the fact that I didn't give up, because I was so close to wanting to give up. And it's actually funny, because the very next week is the week I met Zach. I just randomly got booked to play this bar, and he was playing that same bar, and that's when we met each other. And I'm so glad I pushed through and kept believing. So anybody who's listening right now, and you love what you do, but it might seem like you've been doing it for a while and you're not where you think you should be, don't give up. Keep going.
Thank you. Nico, I needed all this in my own personal
life.
Nico Moon, thank you so much. Thank you for all the music. We love it, and we're going to rock out tonight.
We're going to have a good time.
Absolutely.
Unintended.
Nico Moon, everybody.